Chapter 88 Interlude Looking. The sound of heavy boots on the wooden landing startled the men sitting in the Waystone Inn. Quoth bolted to his feet mid-sentence, and was halfway to the bar before the front door opened and the first of the felling night crowd made their way inside.
"You've got hungry men here, Colt,"
Cobb called out as he opened the door. Shep, Jake, and Graham followed him inside.
"We might have a little something in the back," Coach said. "I could run and fetch it straight away unless you'd like drinks first."
There was a chorus of friendly assent as the men settled onto their stools at the bar. The exchange had a well-worn feel, comfortable as old shoes. Chronicler stared at the red-haired man behind the bar. There was nothing left of Quoth in him. It was just an innkeeper, friendly, servile, and so unassuming as to almost be invisible. Jake took a long drink before noticing Chronicler sitting at the far end of the room.
"Well, look at you, Colt, a new customer. And we're lucky to have got any seats at all."
Shep chuckled. Cobb swiveled his stool around and peered at where Chronicler sat next to Bast, pen still poised over his paper.
"Is he a scribe or summat?"
"He is," Coach said quickly. "Came into town late last night."
Cobb squinted toward them.
"What's he writing?"
Coach lowered his voice a bit, drawing the attention of the customers away from the guest and back to his side of the bar.
"Remember that trip Bast made to Baden?"
They nodded attentively.
"Well, turns out he had a scare with the pox and he's been feeling his ears a bit since then. He thought he'd best get his will writ down while he had the chance."
"Sense enough in that these days,"
Shep said darkly. He drank off the last of his beer and knocked the empty mug down.
"I'll do another of those. Whatsoever monies I have saved at the time of my death shall go to the widow Sage,"
Bast said loudly across the room,
"to help in raising and dowering her three daughters, as they are soon to be of marriaging age."
He gave Chronicler a troubled look.
"Is marriaging a word?" "Little Katie certainly has grown up a bit this last year, hasn't she?"
Graham mused. The others nodded in agreement.
"To my employer I leave my best pair of boots,"
Bast continued magnanimously,
"and whatsoever of my trousers he finds fitting."
"Boy does have a fine pair of boots,"
Cobb said to Coat.
"Always thought so."
"I leave it to Pater Leoden to distribute the remainder of my worldly goods among the parish, as being an immoral soul I will have no further need of them."
"You mean immortal, don't you?" Chronicler asked uncertainly.
Bast shrugged.
"That's all I can think of for now."
Chronicler nodded and quickly shuffled the paper, pens and ink into his flat leather satchel.
"Come on over, then,"
Cobb called to him.
"Don't be a stranger."
Chronicler froze, then made his way slowly toward the bar.
"What's your name, boy?"
"Devon,"
he said, then looked stricken and cleared his throat.
Excuse me. Carverson. Devon Carverson."
Cobb made introductions all around, then turned back to the newcomer.
"Which way are you from, Devon?"
Cobb asked. "Off past Abbotsford."
"Any news from that way?"
Chronicler shifted uncomfortably in his seat, while Coates eyed him darkly from the other side of the bar.
"Well, the roads are rather bad." This sparked a chorus of familiar complaints, and Chronicler relaxed.
While they were still grousing, the door opened, and the smith's apprentice came in, boyish and broad-shouldered, with the smell of coal smoke in his hair. A long rod of iron rested on his shoulder as he held the door open for Carter.
"You look a fool, boy,"
Carter groused as he made his way slowly through the door, walking with the stiff care of the recently injured.
"You keep hauling that around and folks start talking about you like they do Crazy Martin. You'll be that crazy boy from Ranish. You want to listen to that for the next 50 years?
The smith's apprentice shifted his grip on the iron bar self-consciously.
"Let him talk,"
he mumbled with a hint of defiance.
"Since I went out and took care of Nelly, I've been having dreams about that spider thing."
He shook his head.
"Hell, I think you'd be carrying one in each hand. That thing could have killed you."
Carter ignored him, his expression stiff as he walked gingerly toward the bar.
"Good to see you up and about, Carter,"
Shep called out.